Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the Cricket Show, and you're hearing in the background some Christmas music from out of Jamaica. We just want to welcome each and every one of you to the Cricket Show. It's a pleasant evening in my neck of the woods, and I hope where you are indeed extremely experiencing some very wonderful weather. Remember, you can call us 1-515-605-9850. Just want to welcome Audley Watson and Denny Seeds. We are hoping to hear from some others, but these are on early. Good evening to you, gentlemen. Sure you want to say
good
hi.
Good evening, Leo.
Perhaps you want to say hi to your loved ones and Dennis as well.
Good evening to you, Leon. I'm out here in Southern California where we're getting some rain for a change. It's a little cloudy, about 50 degrees. But we're welcoming the rain, of course, in the mountains of our California. We're getting some snow. So we're definitely enjoying what is on here. And I think we've just been joined by Donna.
Okay, why don't we say hello to Donna and let her call her fans. Or is it Iva? Yes.
I think it's Donna.
Hello, hello good evening to you. Donna, are you there or is it Iva? Okay.
No, it's Iva. It's Iva. Donna is over in New
York.
Let's try to get her on WhatsApp and hook up here to see how we can make it. I was just speaking with her.
Okay. All right. Hold tight while I give the show its blessing. And as soon as you get her, just bring her in and we will make way for her. Say, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your giving us this opportunity once more to have another show. We thank you so much for allowing us to do yet in our 13th year, Lord. We pray that you will just guide us along the way and let this show be one to be remembered. Lord, we thank the ones who have made it possible, those who have contributed financially and those who have supported us otherwise, Lord. We pray for them. We pray for the ones who are sick, namely Dr. Leroy Lashley and his daughter, Lisa, of course, Bobsy Nisbet, Connie Whitley, Ellie Matt, Everett Carter, Oliver Solomon, Murchis, Nisbet, Marubi, El Camino Willett, Roston Otto, and Winfred Francis and Telbert Francis as well, my two brothers. Dennis Kelman, Joseph Gunthrop Willis, and Mona Daniel, Billmore Hallpike, Earl Stevens, Jeanette Hughes, my niece, and Dr. Roger Brown, Virgil Francis' son, and Mr. Linford McKenzie, and all those who have not expressed their concerns, Lord. We pray for them. Touch their bodies and heal them from the bottom of their feet to the top of their heads, Lord. We're grateful for all the help you've given us over the years and trust that this show might be one to be remembered. And we pray and thank the ones who made it possible again. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, just let me fill you in with a little bit of homework, because this evening we're going to do a little extra this evening, because the last half hour of this show this evening, we're going to open the line so that all those who want to send their greetings to their friends and loved ones across the world, they can do so by calling 1-515-605-9850, or they may want to join us on blogtalkradio.com/The Cricket Show. Again, the number is 1-515-605-9850. Or those who may want to just listen to us via the internet, blogtalkradio.com/The Cricket Show. And with that said, let me go into the outline. Because Australia, well, they beat West Indies so badly, I hate to call the numbers. But it has to be called sometime. Australia, 511 for 7 and 199 for 6. West Indies, 214 and 77. Yes, it's 77. 214 and 77. Australia winning there by 419 runs. Oh, my goodness. That is too hard to handle. Pakistan and England are in a little tight, in a tight spot. I guess Pakistan, to me, has the upper hand. Pakistan replying to England's 281 and 275. Pakistan in the first innings were 202, 198 for 4. At the close of play on the third day, Pakistan require further 157 runs. So it's possible that England can win, but in my view, I think Pakistan will prevail and level the series. Turning our attention to India. India are in Bangladesh, and they have been playing some ODI matches. India lost the first two, but they came back with a storm. In the third, they scored 409 for 8, 409 for 8. Bangladesh replied with 182, which meant that they lost by 227 runs. You know what is strange? I want to just talk a little bit about the Ranji Cup, because what happened, the Ranji Cup is due to start December the 13th and will go until the 20th of February. And in that period, the Indians will play 137 or 38 test matches. They're called test matches. I'm going to ask the panelists if they knew why they're called test matches. And they have a number of divisions that are involved. They have, we'll tell you more, 4 divisions of 8 teams each. We'll go into that a little later. So that's why they don't want to send out their players, because they have them there to play in their domestic season. South Africa, they are in Australia. They have played their first match, and that was, I'll give you the score in that in a while, as they are due to play 3 test matches, 2 ODIs, starting December the 9th and go into January the 17th. Presently, they are involved in Cricket Australia 11, and the match, Cricket Australia 11 scored 226. South Africa replied with 347 and 304 for 8, and we'll wait and see what will be the outcome. India, their big score in Bangladesh, which I said to you before, and India A, their score in Bangladesh, 2 test matches, November the 29th to December the 9th. And the Sri Lanka League are very much in progress. They have played some, they are due to play 24 T20 matches December the 6th to December the 23rd. And the teams involved are the Kandy Falcons, the Jaffina Kings, Ngali Gladiators, Columbus Stars, and the Ambola Aurora. tell you more about that later as well. A number of West Indies are involved. Just to tell you about the upcoming matches from the Antiguan Barbuda Cricket Association tournament for 2023, starting January the 5th to the 22nd. They will be playing the ABA 10 Splash. January 28th to April 15th will be the two-day championship. And the April the 11th to May the 6th, they will play the Cool and Smooth T20. And then May the 13th to the 23rd, ABA or ABCA Super 40. Just to tell you also, we'll be taking our time out to talk about the upcoming the final stages of the World Cup. We Argentina is due to take on Croatia come Tuesday, and France will be going up against Morocco. And most of us, we have chosen our team, and most of our teams have gone, and only one team that most of our fans and panelists have called are still involved. Just going to turn it over to Audley. He has some of the USA. Audley, not Audley, but Dennis. Dennis?
Yes, Leon.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the USA, while we do that, maybe we can try to see if we can find our sister Merchus.
Go ahead.
All right. So, yes, we have the U.S. Open, which started December the 5th through will end on the 13th, which is in 2 days' time. There's quite a number of team. I think there are four groups of three teams, total of 12 teams. And in this Open, the players who applied to be registered for the draft were numerous, from the West Indies through England, through South Africa, India. I guess you could say it's an international tournament, and so we have registered players from all over. So I think there's quite a few players from the West Indies squad that we are aware of who have also registered. Matches started way down on the 5th, and in that game, the teams are, let's give you the teams playing: Clarion County, Asia United team, Florida. There is the Florida Scorpions, UMMC Knight Riders, Nepali All-Star Stallion Cricket Club. Leon, some noise in the background there from Stallions X, Stamp Army, Tigers CC, Titans, Virginia Bears, Masters CC, and of course, EVUCC. In the first match, UMCC Knight Riders 143-6, defeated Masters 128-7. Match number two, the Stallions 98-10, all out, that is. Dallas All-Star 99-6. And when I failed to give you in that first match, the Knight Riders and the Masters, Emraj was 0-11, Shepherd 2-25, Aiden Walsh 1-36, and of course Anward scored 87, and Masters CC, I've got that. Second match, Stallion C, 98-10, Dallas 99-6. Shannon Gabriel for the Stallion for Dallas was 3-9, and Fidel Edwards 2-11. Match number three, EVUCC 183-1, Navanpreet Singh 109, K. Otley 59, Virginia Bears 104, and that is Kumar 3-16, Billings 3-12. The CVUCC was the winner there. Match number four, Tampa Tigers 93 all out, Stallion X 97-5, Stallions victorious there. Florida Scorpions 143-6, Moti 0 for 19, Odin Smith 0 for 19 in terms of the wicket, and Clarion County Asia 149 for 5. Shai Hope was 1 run, Karaya 18, Odin Smith 17. Clarion County the winner there. Match number 6, Dallas All Stars 153 for 9. Odin Smith took 4 for 23, Moti 1 for 34, Anik Karaya 2 for 24. Clarion County.
Your recording has reached the maximum length. To replay your message.
Clarion County Asia United 154 for 4. They are the victorious team there. Shannon Gabriel took 1 for 22. Shai Hope scored 20 and Karaya 38. Match number 7, we had the Scorpion, Florida Scorpions, 132 all out. UMMC Knight Riders 188 for 3. Jaskaran Malhotra 92. Urshad 4 for 22. Mohammed Mohsin 3 for 17. Match number 8 on the 8th of December, Stallion X 184 for 5, Hangir 51, Bhutar 3 for 13, Singh 2 for 23, Jaya Surya 2 for 25, Titan CC 118 all out. So Stallions victorious there. Match number 9, the Tampa Tigers 157 for 8, Yadran 44, Aurora 3 for 24, Huck 2 for 36, Virginia 161 for 1, Wiggins 67, Aurora 70, Virginia victorious there. Match number 10, Samp Army 200 for 3, Andres Goose 93, Budinger 67, and Charles 12, PVUCC 123 for 8, Bodinger 3 for 22, Delaney 2 for 23. Match number 11 on the 9th of December, Stallion CC 169 for 9, Hector 35, Ali 37, Espatel 27, Ido Edwards 6, and Cornwall 6. Florida Scorpions 142 for 10. Fidel Edwards 3 for 38. Shalwick 2 for 10. Cornwall 0 for 14. And the Stallion CC victorious there. Match number 12. Masters CC 170 all out. Mario Shepherd 55. Chopin Rutherford 22. Aiden Walsh 6, Emraj 3, Odin Smith claiming 1 for 42, Karaya 4 for 27, Moti 0 for 20, Clarion County CC 146 for 10, Shai Hope 41, Karaya 31, Smith 13, Mario Shepherd 3 for 15, and Mike 4 for 20, the Masters 170. Or victorious. Match number 13, UMMC Knight Riders 118 for 8 defeated Dallas All Stars 100 for 9. Match number 14, Titan CC 139 for 4, Virginia Bears 115 for 5. So Titans victorious. Match number 15, the 10th of December, Stamp Army 216 for 8 defeated Tampa Tigers 122 for 6. In that match, Pina scored 64, Charles 40, Django 35, and of course Yadran 52. And then the 16th match yesterday, PVUCC scored, or rather I should say, were bundled out for 41 runs in 11.4 overs. Zia Uak 4 for 7, Jayasuria 2 for 8, Adil 2 for 12, Rajane 2 for 9, Stallions X scored those 45-1. So they were obviously the victors. Semifinal matches are being played today. And the first set of scores we have is Titans, CC, 112-8. Stamp Army, 113-1. Johnson Charles, 75. And in the second match, CVUCC, 71 all out. Stallions were 77-2. So they were victorious. And in the four divisions, we had Masters finish top with 2 points, played three, win one, lose two. Dallas All-Stars were number two, played three, win one, identical, lost two and points two. In the second group, UMCC played 3-1, all three, both points tally six. Clarion County played 3-1-2, lost one, 4 points. And in this group, Stallion CC had a similar statistics to Clarion County, played 3-1-2, lost one. Their points tally was also four, but Clarion County went through to the semifinal group based on their nominal run rate, which was 0.55 compared to Stallion 0.02. And the third group, noise there, Leon. The third group, Stallion X, played 3-1-3, points total six. Stamp Army played 3-1-3, point total six, an exact replica of similar, basically, in terms of points tally. And Stallions were declared the winner of that division because of their superior run rate, net run rate, I should say, 5.05 compared to 3.58 for Stamp Army. And in the final group, Titan CC played 3, win 1, lose 2, 2 points. CVUCC played 3, win 1, lost 2. Their points tally were 2. The Stamp Tigers did not qualify. So in the semifinals, we have Masters and Clarion County playing. I think I gave you one of those results before. UMCC versus Dallas. Stallions will play CVUCC. And Stamp Army and Titan CC will play. So that would be the semifinal matches. And interestingly enough, following the progress of some of the West Indians in that open, Clarion County, Odin Smith played for County, Moti, Karaya, and Narayan and Hope. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We have five players there from West Indies area. Dallas had Shannon Gabriel, and Masters had Hemraj, Romario Shepherd, Bramble, Walsh, Gore, Rutherford, and Sinclair, and Stamp Army at Johnson Charles. So we will final off the second of the semifinal group match being played today. The third will be played tomorrow, and of course, the top two in those semifinal group will meet for the final Tuesday. That's it for the U.S. Yes. Open, Leon.
Thank you so much.
Back to you.
Thank you so much, Dennis. I'm just going to call on Audley to give us the inside edge.
All right. First of all, let me give my welcome because I didn't get a chance to.
Oh, yes,
so I just want
right.
to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, just want to give a shout out to all the wonderful people across the world that is listening to us this evening, or whether you're listening later via the website in the archives. We just want to say a happy Sunday evening, but whatever evening it is here. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to you all. And yes, it's Sunday evening. And Leon, we had a nice, I heard Dennis talk about his weather in this part of the world there. And we had a high of 83 today. And at the moment, it's in the mid-60s and nice and cool. So, you know, we can bask in the wonderful weather Adventure John here in South Florida. And just to go back a little more, that song that the Christmas in Jamaican style that you played at the beginning of the program, yes, it's songs by Unique Vision of Jamaica. And all, I think all except for the lead singer, they are all legally blind. So that's why they call it Unique Vision. Yes. They're all legally blind. Unique Vision. Play some nice music anyhow. All right. So the inside edge for the day, while I was talking to him, I think slip away off the screen, but I'll get it back in a little bit of while. Okay. So a couple of West Indians, inside edge. We have Sir Clive Lloyd, we have Mr. Sawant, Ranwan Sawant, Carl Hooper, and we have an Englishman, Ken Barrington, an Australian, Mark Taylor, former captain, and we have a Pakistani, Salim Malik. Now, all these guys share something in order. They all share the same thing. And anybody would like to guess what they all share in common? Seven cricketers, they all share one thing in common. All right, that's not an answer and question and answer. I'll just go ahead and give it. All seven players have scored 20 international hundreds.
Wow.
All seven players, they have all scored 20 international hundreds. For Ken Barrington, it's a little bit too, because when it comes to Carl Hooper, you know, his include, and Sawant, they all include Gambier and so forth, they all include his century that is made in ODIs. But, you know, he get to play any of the, like, ODIs, and especially T20. But they all share in common 20 international centuries. That's across all formats. So that's what I have for you here in the inside edge.
Right. And we're going to go right into the Walter Henry birthday anniversary. Oh, yeah. I'm going to play a little tune that is uncommon, but this might be a little appropriate for this time of the year. Country Road, they call it. Country Road, this one is what they say you call a rent-a-tile. Country Road.
Number 7, GCNT. How I miss you, my beloved country. Three big mountains blocking up the wind, and she took the music just for me to sing. Country road, take me home to a place where I belong, back in Sawant on the Pisgah. Take me home, country road, country road.
Take it away, Audley, take it away.
All right, with a little bit of Country Road in the background, this is the Walter Henry Birthday and Anniversary Hour. It's the time of the evening when you can also join us and say hello. You can give your birthday, your anniversaries, or just give us a shout out and say hello. And it's Christmas time, as Leon mentioned before. At the end, just the last half an hour of the program, you can call in and share greetings with whosoever you want to. All right, so it's 515-605-9800, 515-605-9850. And as we go along, once again, in the Walter Henry birthday and anniversary hour, we give an occasional footnote. Okay, today's the 11th of December, and it's the anniversary of Mr. We just talked about Carl Hooper, in that Carl Hooper made his test debut against India, 1987, on this date. 1987. And birthday, Alia Atkinson, the recently retired Jamaican, great Jamaican swimmer. She was born back in 1988. Shubat Gumti and Salim Durrani. Salim Durrani is from he's from Afghanistan, but he played played for India. But he was born in Afghanistan. And Andrew Putnik from South Africa, Mark Greatbatch, Kim Southey, and Lucy Dolan, female cricketer, from New Zealand. From out of Barbados, the late Sylvester Clark and the late George Francis, and out of Guyana, Anthony Bramble. Maury Goodwin from Zimbabwe, Point Kotze from Namibia, Rick McCusker from Australia, Pat Desi from Canada, and Junib Zia from Pakistan. For the 12th, we have dub poet and radio talk show host Muta Baruka, out of Raytown in Jamaica. Yeah, he will celebrate it tomorrow. We have Jimmy Kamid from Kenya. We have Dutta Padukar from India, along with B. Bimbolkar, former wicket keeper. That's way back in the 1948-49, playing in a match. He scored 443. That's a whole lot of runs. Gulam Garg, also from India, as we continue, and also Yuvraj Singh, the Yuvraj Singh that we know. Imam Ul Haq, yep. Masood Anwar, Sunil Tanwar, Sami Aslam, all from Pakistan, Mohammed Kashif, and Gulam Shabar Mohammed Safi is from Bangladesh, and from Gulam Shabar for United Arab Emirates. Ajit De Silva and Amal Silva from Sri Lanka. Out of Jamaica, the late Laurie Williams, who was born this day. Also, late Wilf Slack from St. Vincent. Yeah, he played for England, and he tragically died while he was playing in a county match. He just collapsed and died on the field. From Afghanistan, Ibrahim Zadran, Matthew Fleming and Boyne Smith, female cricketer, out of England. Jimmy Christie and Nicky Boy from South Africa. Andrew Tai and Ben McDermott, also from Australia. Golf for Ricky Fowler for the 13th. Ricky Fowler will be celebrating his birthday. Sir Clive Lloyd made his test debut on this day, the 13th. Of December 1966 versus India. And the great Jamaican athlete George Roden was born this day back in 1926. That's the 13th of December. Back to cricket, Grace from England, G.F. Grace, got a pair in the only test match that he played in. Two ducks. So he started a duck farm. But he couldn't get to sit on it because 14 days after he played his first test match, he died of pneumonia. 2 weeks after. Okay, Basit Ali out of Pakistan, Ajay Rekta from India, Avid Khan as well, Les Jocelyn from Australia, Brenda Bess from the West Indies out of Guyana, Corey Anderson from New Zealand, once held a world record for the fastest ODI century, but it has been broken since. Mohammed Ali Khan plays cricket for the U.S. nowadays, was born in Pakistan. It's also the anniversary of, it will be the anniversary when the great Roy Frederick scored 109 against Australia in Perth. And that's back in 1975, 50 coming up in 33 balls, 171 balls, 169 of 145 balls. And he was making it against guys like Dennis Lilly and Terrible Thompson in those days. For the 14, Veronica Henry, the daughter of Mr. Ivor Henry. Mm. So he was in early. Hope he'll be able to get back in. Wilfred Ferguson from Trinidad and Tobago, Frank King from Barbados, Charlie Griffiths from Barbados, and also Melissa Aguilera. She's from Trinidad and Tobago, and Brandon Nash out of Jamaica also. Barry Hadley, Matthew James Henry from New Zealand, Samara Silva, and Pradap Mudassam from Sri Lanka. Bharat Arum from India, Butch White and Mary Pillin from England, Edward Rainford from Zimbabwe, and it will also be the anniversary of the first between West Indies in Test cricket, but that one was between West Indies and Australia on the 14th of December, and that was in 1960. Test debut of the great Malcolm Marshall, 1978 versus India, and that on the 15th. And we have Ralph Stewart Grant from Trinidad and Tobago celebrated birthday, along with the great Guyanese Carl Hooper. Yep, featured a lot this evening. First player to score 5,000 test runs and 5,000 ODIs. Also has 100 wickets in both formats, ODI and test. Great Carl Hooper. We have Ernest Pushrack, Val Farrell, and Greg Matthews from Australia, Raju Gohal, female cricketer from India, Rashid Khan, Alumuddin from Pakistan also, Keith Andrews, wicketkeeper from England, Asif Karim, Kenya. For the 16th, we have Jack Hobbs, the first cricketer to be knighted, Jack Hobbs out of England, Freddie Brown, Graham Stevenson, Craig White, Emma Lamb, female cricketer, all from England. Joel Big Bird Garner, described as a man with the Yorker from hell, out of Barbados. Joel Garner, Ricardo Powell from North Jamaica, and also Brandon King. They are already celebrating on the 16th. Dennis Kanera, Imran Nazir, and Iram Javid, female cricketer, all from Pakistan. Syed Quran from South Africa. Gal Singh from India. And Anumal Haq, 28 years old, from out of Bangladesh. And finally, for the 17th, Albert Padmore out of Barbados, West Indies. Barbara Daniels and Charlotte Edwards from England. Arby Faulkner and Quinton de Kock from out of South Africa. Kiki Taropole from India. And Mushtaq Ali Said from India. Bruce Morrison, Edwin Thompson from New Zealand, the great Australian non-cricketer, no test cricket or anything like that, but the man that changed cricket forever, Kerry Packer. He introduced big money into cricket, colored clothing, night cricket and so forth. Remember the name, Kerry Packer. Yep, Kerry Packer. He left us 2005. And finally, from Ireland, Janice Walsh. Back to you, Leon.
Thank you so much, Audley. I want to welcome Virgil, man at the park, at the, can I say, Fort Lauderdale? Lauderhill. Come on in, Virgil.
Good evening to all listeners and good evening to all the panels. First of all, that's $1,000 fine.
Yes.
And I'm keeping that deliberately. I'm keeping all the commentators in check that who make that mistake over here. Yes, definitely at Broward Park, Broward County Stadium in the beautiful city of Lauderhill, watching the U.S. opening at night right now.
Will you give my regards to Rakeem Cornwall and, of course, Hayden Walsh Jr.? We talked on the phone. If you get close to them.
When they're not here tonight, their team is not playing tonight. So they're probably playing tomorrow. I mean, I don't know what time they're playing. If they're playing in the evening, I'll be here. But during in the day, I won't. So I don't think I'm going to get to see them again until maybe the final or what. But I see them again.
We just want to just take time out to welcome all the cricketers from the Caribbean in particular. And just hope that they have a wonderful time. Enjoy themselves. Be careful. Drive safely. And pay attention to the traffic.
And let's
And yes, of course, we invite you all to join us. The number to call is 1-515-605-9850. The number again, slowly, 1-515-605-9850. 515-605-9850, or you may do so via the internet by going to the webpage blogtalkradio.com/thecricketshow. Again, blogtalkradio.com/thecricketshow. He has some noise in the background. It seems as if it's Ivor. He wants to come in with, is he? Want to come in? No. Okay, so those are my thoughts for the day. Anyone else? Is it Donna? Is she on? Hard to find merchants tonight. She has a date with another person except Audley.
I know you're talking.
No, I'm just joking. But anyway, Audley.
I know. We're joking.
Dennis, come on in, yes. Dennis.
All right. Birthday wishes at this time. I have no birthday wishes or anniversary, but I think, is this the time we're sending out greetings to friends and families or later?
You can do so now and we can do it later as well.
Okay, well, then. Mm-hmm. All right, I'll take the opportunity to send Christmas wishes to my family up there in Canada, my family and friends in the UK, family and friends here in the USA, and of course, family and friends. Well, friends mainly in Jamaica and friends in Barbados. So I wish all of you happy and safe and a joyous Christmas and pleasant, very healthy New Year. Back to you.
Thank you so much. Let me see if Ivor is still here or is it Donna? He is connected with Donna. Is it Donna or Ivor? Don't know who is on.
Well, Leon, Donna is in Nevis. I don't think you're going to be hearing from her tonight.
Okay. All right. Good.
Election in Nevis.
That's correct. Yes. How about you'd like to say anything about that at this point? Because I don't know much about it.
Yeah, well, the local Nevis election that will be held tomorrow, that's been called, it was constitutionally due. In March, but they called it early in Christmas. I think they would have an advantage around this time, so they would have called it. So political meetings are going on, has been going on all week and prior to that. So the mood on the ground from my understanding is that the chances of the government overturning is great.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They've been there for quite some time, though. They've been since 2013. As a matter of fact, for the last 30 years, the opposition has owned the government for six of those last 30 years. So that just to tell you how long the CM has been in control of Nevis. And they found wanting along the way with some some of the mandates that they would have that they have for the people of Nevis. So we'll just watch and wait. Tomorrow evening, maybe this time, results coming in. But as usual, those results in a small 32 to 36 square mile, sometimes it takes them to count a few boxes, especially when you only have about 40% of the registered voters voting. So I don't know what kind of shenanigans be going on. But too long to count a few boxes. When here in America you have millions of votes, should be you can have projected winners the very same night. Early in the night.
Question for Ivor. So should the opposition win, will they be dancing in your household? Okay. I like the direct answer. Yes. Yeah.
and therefore Ivor will have dancing in two houses because his house is in power in St. Kitts. Right.
Yes, the Labour Department in August, they made me happy when the government there was overturned as well. So I'll have a double whammy, double Christmas, double everything.
Mm-hmm. Next time, I beg you, please announce your candidacy. All right.
Yes, sir.
No, I support from afar.
Are you present here at the park, Ivor? Oh.
Yes.
You are? Okay. Are you going to be on? Because we wanted to bring a little... I sent a text to you. I don't know if you saw it.
No. I came out the combox and I'm outside now. I tried to move away from a little noise here, so I hope it's not...
No, it's good. It's good. No.
Okay. Virgil is here too. He was just right away from
me. Yeah, okay. Yeah, but... Yeah, Virgil, anything to report from the park?
Virgil, I didn't hear that.
Are you close to the park? Mm-hmm. Just give us a little red and a rundown of anything that you see of consequence?
If I'm close to the park?
No, it means to the action then. To the action.
Up to date. Give us some scores up to date. Mm.
Oh, the up-to-date score is 98-2. UMMC is batting.
How much overs?
14.5.
Are they setting score or are they chasing?
No, setting.
Okay, they're setting score.
Okay. All right.
I'm right where now, so I'm going to put it on you.
Okay.
Is Ivor beside him because he came on and he didn't give a shout out to his daughter, Veronica?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's hearing you.
He probably is in. Is Eddie close to you? Oh, no. I heard about.
No.
Mm. All right. Well, we're going to play a song oddly for all the birthdays.
Let me give. I have two for Friday.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, Miss Cherry Campbell, one of my sister in Christ, and Chuck Henderson, they are both celebrating on the 16th, at this Friday. So a big happy birthday. When time comes, of course, I'll give them the call. But big them up on the air. Happy birthday when it comes on the 16th. Back to you.
Wrong number.
Number 7. GCNT. How I miss you, my beloved country. Three big mountains blocking up the wind. And she took the music just for me to sing. Country road, take me home to a place where I belong. Back in Sawa, on the Pisgah, take me home. Country road, take me home to a place where I belong.
Jamaica.
Okay.
Okay. Yes, the country road playing in the background. Here we go. This has been the Walter Henry Birthday and Anniversary Hour. Want you to join us next week, God willing, about 6:30 when we'll be doing it all over again. So big shout out to all you who are listening throughout the world. Remember, you can, just in case you missed the program live, you can always go in the archives, blogtalkradio.com/thecricketshow, blogtalkradio.com/thecricketshow. And you can, for you who are listening, you can always call. It's live on Sundays from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the number is 515-605-9850. So join us next week, Sunday again, once again, for Walter Henry Birthday and Anniversary Hour. Back to you, Leo.
Okay, and thank you so much, everybody. Well, there we come to the end of that program. So we're going to go right back into our cricket talk. We're going to begin with Australia versus the West Indies. Folks, what a beating.
Leon.
Yeah, go
ahead. Can I interrupt
yes.
and let's do the little tidbits of notes and then we can do the score.
Okay, yeah, why not? Yes, go right ahead.
Yeah, because we have recently seen, before I go further, back to the U.S. Open, I just wanted to let our listening audience know that the U.S. Open has a reward for winning this trophy. I believe it's the reward for the winners of $150,000. So that is well worth playing for. And the other thing is next year's tournament in the U.S. Open, the reward, the prize will be $250,000. So definitely we'll be seeing a lot more, quite a few more players from internationally coming to participate. The other thing, Leon, is that this U.S. Open is sanctioned by the International Cricket Council, the ICC, and USA Cricket. So that at least, and I'm sure Audley can confirm for me, that the statistics originating from these matches will certainly be counted as first-class statistics, and so they will be very, very useful for players who are here making their presence felt and seen.
Dennis, by saying this year, The program, the T20 U.S. Open has a galaxy of stars. And you have a guy like Ben Dung from Australia. You have the guy from the opener from Martin Guptill. Almost the entire Ireland side, the West Indies side. And, this year has the best quality. It has always been of high quality, but this year surpassed all the rest. By a big margin, I can tell you, a whole lot of international stars are out there. And as I'm at it, let me give you a little update here. The T20 match is being played between England and the West Indies, and the West Indies were 105 for 7 in their 20 overs. The women,
mm-hmm, yes.
T20 women. So West Indies mm-hmm. women, 105 for 7. England, they are presently 26 without last after 3 overs and 4 balls. So they're on the way to a big victory. Yeah.
All right. The other items I have, Leon, there has recently been a USA Cricket advertised for a men's head coach. And the advertisement read as follows. USA Cricket is advertising for a head coach for the USA men's national cricket team. Closing date for the application is December the 18th, and the qualification requirements include level 3 or equivalent qualification with an ICC full member recognized body and 5 years minimum coaching experience. Now, Leon and Audley, this head coach ad appears on the 8th of December, and the closing date is December the 18th. Now, if you think that this is an important, that December 18th, so that is simply 10 days away. Now, I find that rather a short window. to advertise for a position as important as this one. So I was able to contact the acting chairman of the of Cricket USA, Dr. Atul Rai, and I asked him the question, why such an important position has such a short application window? And his reply was that the current coach made it clear that he was leaving at the end of the year. A rushed ad was placed due to international fixtures, which is upcoming in February of 2023. And also, the cricket committee would like to see if they can find a coach locally. Also, in today's information highway, news travel fast, and I'm pretty sure that we will see a lot of applicants. So that was Dr. Atul Rai, the acting chair of the Cricket USA or USA Cricket, in response to my question as to why such a short window. But still, there is still some questions at the back of my mind as to the possibility that there would be a local coach with the qualifications. And the list of qualification was a very, very long, long list of requirements. So I don't know. I've never heard of one being available locally, but I could still be surprised. And secondly, if a coach is to come in from abroad, then certainly they need time to put together a resume, apply, being interviewed, more than one, I assume. So the closing date of the 18th seems to me to be rather short. But that is my quick take, and I don't know if anyone else has any comment on that particular item there, Leon.
Question, though. Question. Do you think Phil Simmons would be eligible, or would he take a chance to apply?
I guess he would have the opportunity to apply. He seems to have the right paper qualification. Whether or not he could meet the cut, in my book, I think he would not meet the cut, but that's me personally, and I'm not making the decision finally, but that's how I see that one. Anyone
if
else?
If he were to succeed, would you think they'll give him a four-year contract, or would it be a
Leon,
I'm just asking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. If he were to succeed, I suspect that would be the end for USA Cricket, quite frankly.
You know, as far as I'm concerned in that one, the coaches can get so much beaten, but you're only as good as the players you have. you can coach all you want to coach, give them the right coaching, give them everything, but just the fact that whenever the side win, the coach get a lot of praises, but when they lose, he's gonna get the blame too. But it doesn't matter how you play; it's according to the players you have. The caliber side of players who, if they are gonna go out there and put their head down and things. So a lot of time, the coach get some beating what they don't deserve.
But oddly.
Go ahead, Leon.
Yeah, I was saying, sometimes a coach might thrive in a different atmosphere. For instance, he may not do well with the West Indies, but he comes to the USA. He finds a group who will listen to him, and he thrives. So don't write him off. He has the qualification, he applies. I wouldn't bar him if I were one to elect him.
I suspect, Leon, strongly that the USA is much, much too close to the West Indies for the players, the coaches here, the director, the administrator here in the USA to not be cognizant of his track record when it comes to the West Indies. So I doubt very much, strongly doubt that, his resume is one that would make the rounds of scoring for this position.
Maybe they may give a short-term contract. And then, in the counties, they change coaches so often too in English County. They change, so. And that's...
Well, he did well with, was it Ireland that he coached for a long time? And you know,
he coached for Ireland for a long time.
Yeah, good place. Yeah, and the same Ireland came, Ireland went to the West Indies with Phil Simmons. Right,
mm-hmm.
So that is saying that whatever he did over there, you know, worked. But the fact, as I said before, you know, sometimes we beat up on the poor coaches, and it's like the coaches, you know, they did everything that they can actually do, and but it's left to the players to go out there and execute. And it doesn't matter how they're going to coach; some will take it, you know.
Yeah.
And if one or two should come through, and you know, make it in and, you know, reach certain levels, all that's all good. But then you find a majority of them, you just have to be playing the juggling act, you know, the juggling act, because you can't find a steady 11. There should be a nucleus of, about 18, 20 players that you should be able to depend on all times. But unfortunately for us here in the West Indies, it's not working that way, you know?
Yes,
okay.
I wish we wish Phil well, you know, he's not going out on a good note, but who knows,
he may
just find something suitable.
Well, don't forget he has a job lined up in the UAE with the new IPL group. You haven't forgotten that, have you?
No, but that's his short term, right? You want something short term. You want something long term that you can be assured of getting a bread and butter every day.
All right, well,
probably has a mortgage to pay. Who knows? You just buy a new Cadillac or a Rover. You don't know.
I doubt it. He would really be on the unwise side if he come to the end. Well, he would have done that before, but then also his 4-year term. 4-year tenure would have been up in a couple of months, so I don't think that would make much of a difference. So you don't need to see why the sun shines, not when the rain is falling. not when it's raining.
Well, we wish him well and hope that he gets something suitable and something that he can thrive and improve and let him laugh again, because I've never seen him laugh. Have you?
No.
Have you seen Phil Simmons laugh?
No.
Okay, well.
No, I don't think so. Well, is that nothing?
he
would be laughing at himself.
Oh, yeah.
I give you a story, Mr. Francis and Dennis.
Yeah.
And it's a true story. When we had the same US Open here, but you know, there was always a banquet before, and I was at the banquet, and this gentleman came up to me and start to talk about the days, you know, when whatever, you know, this match and so forth. So when I say, I don't know what you're talking about. He said to me, "You're not Phil Simmons." serious. When I finished, you know, we say, "You're not Phil Simmons," because he tell me about when they make the score and what. And somebody else after we had a celebration after the winning team, and the man said to me, "Anybody ever told you that you look like Phil Simmons?"
I don't know. All right. Well, let's be careful.
I'm just hoping I don't get any licks for Simmons.
That's what I meant. Be careful. So. Anyway, Leon, continuing, we've got the ICC Player of the Month of November has been nominated, male and female. In the male side, Josh Butler of England, he scored 73 from 47 balls against New Zealand and 80 runs from 49 balls against India. And we have Shaheen Afridi. He took 10 wickets, average of 7.3, including 4 for 22 versus Bangladesh. And Adil Rashid from England, he took 4 wickets for an average of 5.7 and 1 for 16 and 1 for 22. And so those are the male nominations. The female nominated players are... I'm sorry, it looks like Nasakan Chattam from Thailand, and she starred in a 4-0 win series over Netherlands, scoring 267 in four matches, including 102 from 135 balls, and she also had two additional half centuries. The second nominated player there, female, is Gabby Lewis from Ireland. She scored a 69 not out from 54 balls and 71 from 46 balls, and she also received the Player of the Series award. And the third nominee is Sidra Amin from Pakistan, who scored a total of 277 runs in three matches, including 176 not out, 91 from 93 balls in ODI matches, and also received a Player of the Series award. So those are the nominated players, and if you're interested, you can just go to the ICC website, and you know, the general public, once you register, you may vote on these nominations for Player of the Month of November.
Okay.
Fridi Rashid. All right.
And should we just put our hands in and see who we want it to be? Each member? Audley, whom would you guess we'll get the Player of the Month?
For the men side, I think it's going to be Butler.
Freddie might be close, but Butler. Yes.
I'm inclined to go with those two, and I probably because Freddie is one of my favorite players, I'd be inclined to tip my hand towards Shaheen Afridi. And on that's on the male side.
Mm-hmm.
On the female side of this, you know, it's very hard to pick one out of these three ladies because they have all been so amazing. And I'd be tempted to go for the Thailand player, Nasakan.
With 250s. With 250s and 100, it's going to be hard to beat her.
Yeah, so that would be my choices, Leon.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so why don't we just touch off on Australia versus West Indies, or West Indies versus Australia, which way you want to put it. But West Indies got a tour within 419 runs.
Wow.
So it would have looked better if they had not go back into bat, right? But just to send them out and get an innings defeat. 419 is a huge amount of runs to be defeated by. And they wanted...
But,
you take. Who else? Who want to go first? West Indies, could they have done better?
What
went wrong?
Leon, what went wrong? I think just about everything went wrong, quite frankly. But the important pressing part of it is the fact that the Australian, even in the first test match, with a lead of almost 300 on both occasions, chose, rather than enforcing the follow-on, they chose to go in again. And I think it was sheer humiliation. In the first test, they did exactly the same thing, and they did the repeat in the second test where, without a doubt, their lead was close to 300, 400, and they chose to go back in and certainly beat up on the West Indies in their second attempt, then declared and put them in, only to bowl them out for 77, which has got to go down in the annals of West Indies cricket as an absolute, I don't know whether disgrace is the right term there. The wicket was fiery. And our players just didn't seem as if they have been coached well enough to know that if a ball is going above your head or above the stumps, out of the way, leave it alone. Mm-hmm. But they insisted that they almost had to play at every single ball that goes by. And I saw Holder in the dregs when the West Indies were in serious, serious trouble in this last match. Holder came in, and I saw Holder definitely, I think he must have thought his bat was a fishing pole, because he was playing a ball that was pitched pretty much almost on the wide ball area for a T20, that it was that far from the stump. And Holder, the man we seem to have put all our faith and trust in to salvage and rescue the West Indies, were simply there pushing his bat at something that he should not even have given it a look. And that was the kind of nonsense that we watched. When Chandra Paul got run out, it was a close call. It was a very good throw from Mark Stark.
Stark, Michelle Stark.
In my estimation, Philip should take the brunt of that because, yes, they miscalled, but he should have continued and taken the sacrifice. Because Chandra Paul had a lot more to give than he could have done. Admittedly, he went on to score 43 runs, but who's to say? Chandra Paul would probably have held things together. And so I'm a little annoyed that Philip did what he did. It showed that he was being selfish in that regard, since they called for the run, and he barely, I don't think he left his crease at all. He just, go ahead.
Go ahead. When you're finished, Alton, when you're finished. Sorry.
Yeah. No, I definitely, unbelievable. And I thought at one point that De Silva would be in a good position to, but he waved, and I again, when the chips are down, West Indian batters, knowing this is a test match and they have 5 days or 3 days to bat, does not seem to take this thing seriously enough to go out there and sit in the crease, get their body and their foot behind the line of the ball. Everyone stands there as if they're weighted down by some kind of a cinder block, pushing the bat. And that is where a lot of the thing, maybe they played too much cricket in the last 5 years, Leon. I think they probably need a rest. Back to you, Leon.
Yeah. Because I want to make a point to go back to Holder. And by the way, I think he... No. Try somebody's keep. No. Back to Holder and De Silva. In particular, those two players have fallen off. We have to have an investigation why players... Holder was once the top all-around in the world. And Holder, like you said, he was like playing with a fishing rod. You know, I mean, we should have an investigation to say why players that reach a certain caliber, you know, status in the cricket world have fallen off so much. Holder, look, a shadow. Today I saw him got bowled down. My goodness. You know, when your ball beats you, you're supposed to hit your pad. I don't know where that ball passed. Holden was out of it. But he has been failing. And even the Silva, too, he's fallen off. And Drake, you know, he was able to give you a constant 50. He looks a shadow of himself. Are they too tired? Are they just not?
I think they're tired.
If they were in the past, just living off of what they did in the past, they're thinking what they have done and not what they intend to do. They have done, yes, well, but now we need them most. These should be considered our senior players. And young Chandra Paul, who they, you know, and trying his utmost best, we needed someone to go down and just... I wasn't so satisfied at all with Bradford captaincy at all in this test match. You know,
You raise a point there. Yeah, Leon, you raise a point there. If you looked at, and I'm sorry to interrupt you there, but you saw when the Aussies were batting, most of the runs were coming between a cover, extra cover, And at no point, other than having a man on the boundary at deep cover point, no effort was made to adjust the field to cut those shots out.
Plug the gap, yes.
Mm-hmm. So you're right there, Leon, and I'm sorry I interrupted you. Go ahead.
Yeah, but that you got it out more vividly, because I felt that he should have go semi-defensive, you save some runs, yeah. Man. Let them run more. Then when they get a boundary, yeah. they relax, they have to. But if you get them running, they have to be tired one time and play back their shots and get out. But he didn't employ anything. But I thought he talked too early. When he scored, he's the only player who opened batsman to have scored 10 centuries or 11 centuries as an opener, because he has changed so many openers in the past. But he is a young man. Were he to have gone on today and yesterday or the day before and played dogged cricket and let the young man school, if he could, he needed some help. And so too with Azhari Joseph, I noticed that he's bowling very well, but no support.
He's batting, batting fella.
Yeah, what he did was to bring in Chase so early, bring Chase into bowl, and Chase not even had no penetration in the first inning.
Can I break in a little bit?
Yeah, sure.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, I'm gonna break. I'm gonna give my talk on pathway set, and then I'll give you the final score. Chandrapal son is the only one I can tell you. Work on his game. You see, he's playing identical like his father. That means he watch and work on his game. The other guys and them do what West Indies want them to do. They work on them fitness and not them game, and that's the problem we have in. We need these guys to work on the game and stop this rubbish about this fitness, because that is what's killing West Indies team. Okay, now the other team, UMMCKR, they just bat 20 over and they're 142 for 6.
Thank you.
I don't know the name of the other team until it came, going to bat.
No.
All right.
Another
one.
142
for 6. Yeah,
Audley?
So, Audley, who is coming up?
Yeah, so, all right. So let me start by saying I would not blame Phillips in one bit for not running.
You don't blame?
I don't blame him. Right. That Chandrapal's problem, he should have really, the guy didn't, if it happened that Phillips started out and then go back and left Chandrapal to get run out, then I would blame him. But the fact that he didn't think he could have made it, so he stayed in the crease and Chandrapal ran down. And so it was all up to him to get back. It's unfortunate that he got out that way. But he was a little too quick to run off. And man, when they say a little bit, when they show the replay, as you guys must have looked on it. Mm-hmm. It was like a whisker from the line. Anything be line, or even if you're on the line and not over the line, that belongs to the umpires, it'll be out.
Yes.
So
he would have probably got him.
Right. So I'm not going to blame for that. The second thing with the West Indies is that with the players, I mean, it's a different category of bowl. When Stark is at his best, right? Bowland came back. See, he took a triple wicket maiden. Scott Bowland, the same one that made his debut and took 6 for 7. Against England, right? He took a couple of wicket maiden, and Scott Boland.
Yes, I heard.
The fast bowler. Yes,
I remember.
So
him.
And the rest of fast bowlers, and those guys are bowling quality bowlers, and they had them in trouble. I agree with Dennis. There's a lot of time that their ball that they should have just leave the ball alone, let the ball pass harmlessly. But the only thing, if it's near to the stump, they have to play, because sometimes it looks like the ball is leaving and then come like the beauty, especially if the spinner is on. See, Lyons now, he reached 450 wickets now. I remember last year he reached the 400, And he used Alzarri Joseph. He cleaned up Joseph to get his 458 wickets. Yes. So it's a different thing. You know, Chander Paul show up the rest of the West Indies batters. He showed them up. I think Philip did very well. I think he fancied himself as a batsman. And he was playing very well. So, you know, I hope he can continue bowling well and you know, start up. We can depend on him to maybe, even if not an all-rounder, but somebody that can give you the 30s and 40s from time to time. And Alzarri Joseph, as you mentioned before, he's doing well in the bowling department. You can depend on him. He's a hero, right? He's a workhorse. Right, he's working hard, but his batting has fallen off. I remember Joseph even when we're playing in New Zealand, and yeah, and the guy was you'd have thought that he was an opening batsman. You know, those defensive, and then when you get anything rugged, you just put a dispatch for four or six, or you beat the fielders and get the ones and the twos. But somehow, I don't know if they are too quick for him, or the movement is what is giving them trouble. I've looked at some balls. I've not played cricket at the highest level, but I've played some cricket. And some of those balls that they continue to try to punch to the offside, there's nobody behind the wicketkeeper. All they have to do is glide the shot. Just the ball is gone away. Just help it on its way down to the boundary behind the wicketkeeper. You know, make sure, look around first, make sure the fine leg is not too fine, that they can come around and take it if you don't go for six or anything like that. But the ball was so high, you just have to help it on. Let it glide on the bat and go on. And nobody was doing that. You don't see nobody doing that.
That Thomas said, ball, he could have left the moon, didn't he?
Yeah. They just keep on outside until, just leave the ball. And then finally, you get a touch on the wicketkeeper. I think he took about six catches in that innings. In the final, period. So, we really have a problem. And Virgil brought us a very good point here. Is that, but I wouldn't say the fitness is rubbish. I would say the fitness is necessary. You have to be fit. But you also need to work on your personal game, work on the game, because with the fitness, it will help you to propel yourself forward more on the international scene.
I agree.
I think it's about time that the report that has been proposed should have been ready by now. How long is it going to take? What are they going to do for the coach? You know, something overlooking. We keep overlooking. I have been saying it for a while. I don't know if anybody listens to me. But nobody is questioning Jimmy Adams. He's our director of cricket. You know what I mean?
Well,
you see England, they make a change. Instead of he has a contract, you can put him to work elsewhere. You don't have to use him in the same area. Put him to work elsewhere. If his contract is not expiring yet, and then get somebody to fill the job, because if you get using the same approach, we haven't heard anything from him, and you know, and he is the man responsible for the cricket. He's the director of the All Cricket. If what we're doing is not working, why is it that we don't get somebody to change it to change use another method to see if we can bring, when we look at sometimes as if we're coming out of this rut, we're going deeper, deeper, deeper into this rut. To be defeated by 416 runs, and you can't bowl out your opposition once, that is too hard to handle, man. It's too, very, very hard to handle. I don't know what you guys think, but we have to make some... I'm good.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I have two points that I wanted to raise. But first of all, just a message from Jay Tin saying that he's having difficulty getting into the show. He's getting a busy tone, and he's not sure whether it's his phone or whether it's the show. But he's having problems getting in, so he may.
Okay, I'm gonna see if I can call him because sometimes when you can't get in. Oh yeah, he just said he's not doing
anything. Oh, okay.
Go ahead. And
while you're doing that, I have a comment back for Audley. Audley, you said that you wouldn't blame Philip, but in my estimation, I'm not blaming him for the run out. What I'm saying.
I get it, understand that he should have taken the fall and let Santa Paul go on. I understand.
As a team player, we have to think overall for what is best for the team, not what is best for me. And in that situation, Chandra Paul is a most important player and has a lot more to offer at that time. I'm not saying in the entire history of cricket, but he had a lot more to offer. He should have made that decision that, yes, I have to give myself, make that sacrifice in order to allow for
Chandra Paul to go on.
For Chandra Paul to remain there because he could have helped. And so I'm thinking that our players are just too self-oriented. And most of the time, it is not good for us. And the one other point that was raised, I think, by Audley. Yes, Alzarri Joseph is great in terms of what he does. I like that. But what I want to see from Alzarri, he needs to develop one or two more tricks with the ball. Variety. You see, his speed alone will get him wickets. He needs to be able to use that away swinger more or that in swinger. I mean, he has a Yorker. But you see, those three balls, he needs to be able to use them sparingly when it's required to remove a batsman. So he's not developed that as well as he should, but I certainly appreciate him and I really like what he does. But he needs, but that alone is not, we also need to develop a striking partner for Alzarri. And I think that the person that we should be focusing on is Jaden Seal. He has the quickness, but he needs to be developed so that he can form a partnership with Alzarri and help West Indies to develop and get and grow. Leon, back to
We have Jaden. Let's say hello to Jaden. Good evening to you, Jaden. How are you? I blocked your phone.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, everyone. I was trying to get into, but the line was busy all the time. So.
Oh, I don't
not
know.
Not sure what's happening today.
We don't know.
We were just having a post-mortem and West Indies failure again. And then we talked about Phil Simmons and the vacancy that is open up here for a coach. We were wondering whether or not Phil Simmons would be brave enough to apply. And what are your thoughts?
Well, let me continue on this Dennis comment, the last one I hear about Alzarri Joseph. It's still, to me, has a lot of improvement need to be adopted to be successful baller, especially in international arena. So besides the variation of this length and line, which is nowadays is very common, you need to have a lot of varieties, means the variations, right?
Yes.
In terms of that, he has a very limited variation at the moment. The way I see these recent two test matches and the highlights, I will say. But top of that, there is a few things, in my opinion, he can work on or need the improvement in terms of angle he is delivering the ball. So means his delivery moment at the time of the stride, you have a whole wide crease to use, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he has to make these adjustments based on the variation. Means you have to understand the circumstances better, condition of the team spot, basically, whether we are leading under pressure, other teams are scoring high. And that is the point. You need to use a lot of variation and stick with it. The three key deliveries you may have, usually one or two, which we call it a stock delivery. Means you are delivering those things with the confidence and accuracy at the time it's needed in between those variations. So you can have a very effective outcome in terms of the taking wickets.
Yes.
If you don't mix it up and if you don't have a plan to execute in such way, then you can keep bowling all day and batsman will score on you all day. That's what it happens. It's unfortunate. There's a current coach living on a really, really bad note. I think Leon knows. I put that little bit comments on a few media, means the social groups, where I clearly say it's a definitely dark spot you want to have in your career when the West Indies could not make it that qualifying stage for the recent World Cup. And now we got this disaster series, but the last inning was more concerned. It is the lowest ever inning total West Indies has put on in Australia. And even you have a good team, it did not work out. So this is not a great farewell for any coach, I will say. It's a disappointment. This team could have done better than to say, hey, coach deserves it, or the team is worthy more than this, but it's the circumstances or situation where we fell. And they did not come out with the statement. In fact, I will say these two back-to-back World Cup and series, both in Australia, and these West Indians did not do any good in Australian soil down under. And that's
just
one horrible.
Point.
And
one point.
Was, yeah, go,
West,
ahead. Go ahead.
West Indies could have done better not to carry him, because if he won, he's still going to be going. If he had won the series, he would be leaving. And if he don't win, he's still going to be leaving. So what benefit was it for him to go on the tour? I just wanted to bring in that while you were talking. But go ahead with your points. Finish.
That is the point I don't like, when these coaches are making such a statement that I will leave after this series. What is your expectation? What do we anticipate from you by taking this one extra series, which you have not done so far good anyway, I will say? Well, what is the point to have this extra opportunity? And it's, to me, the way I look at it, this board to taste under the highlights, I will say, this player's body language is a completely different now. And looks like they are forced to play here. Has absolutely no clue what they're doing. It. You are bowling all day and not able to get like more than two wickets. It's a horrible thing, right? And then top of that, fielding was at the par, basically below the level we expect. And such thing, it does not make sense to me. I watch these as long as Junior Chandra Paul batted, or until I go sleep like 1 a.m. here in Central Zone. But it was not pleasing at all to watch this game. I will rate this game is like a street-level cricket. There is nothing much you can see in this game as a talent-wise.
Well, some people are saying, go to bed, you know the results. People are saying that. Go to bed right now.
Only positive things out of this series is definitely this opener, Chandra Paul, right? And then what we got, some hope out of this group, if the West Indies can bring some new talent, inexperienced players in this arena and give them the confidence they need, just like Chandra Paul did it, and if they can come out with maybe three or four good players in that attitude situation, I will say, which can change team's entire process, how they want to deal with the opponents. On until then, nothing going to change, and now it's all will be rely on coach and new coach and the selectors.
Yeah.
What their future lies, basically. You can keep continue doing same thing and expect a different result. Yes, different result will be there, but it will be disappointing if you don't get improved result, and that is what we need to look for now.
You know, I was watching the Ranji Trophy that is going to be starting on the 13th of December into February in India. And they have so many cricketers that have been exposed. so many to top lines. Why are the matches called test matches? I don't know, but the fact is, so many people, West Indies seem to need to do something to improve. They don't have a good recruiting base to recruit cricketers. You hang on to players longer than they should. And when you recycle these players, they're still not doing well. But like a guy like Brooks, how many times he has been in and out of the West Indies side? And one of our biggest failures was the fast bowler Roach. And they claim that he has only taken one wicket since he has gone to Australia. I don't know.
Who is that, Leon? Roach.
Oh.
Well, as I mentioned last week, Roach, Australia has never been a happy hunting ground for Roach.
But he broke punt in hand one time, right?
Yeah. That was a younger Roach too, and if that's the best thing on your resume in Australia, it means that you'd have to go on breaking arms.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He has not had a good record in Australia. And we have to remember also that our side was like limping, you know, a whole lot of batter bruises.
Injury.
You know, we were down to the bottom of the barrel, you know, we're scraping from.
What happened to Minley?
Minley bowled two overs and some injured. He pulled some. What did they say? Pull muscle or something? Yeah, something
muscle,
that could.
Yeah.
After two overs, they have to limp up the field.
Hamstring problem.
Hamstring, right.
So even
the replacement. I think the long flight and it's like a day or 2 days after I have to go out and play. I think that has to do with it because
Rushing into the tournament too quick.
You talk about 48 hours, man. You talk about going to England, then fly to, you know, but you're discombobulated. You know what I mean? You need some days to acclimatize before and as a fast to just be trusted right into the line of fire. You know, I mean they try the best. They try the best.
You're gonna have to buy a jumbo jet with a. With a recreation center in one of the cabins.
There was no chance.
We had no chance. Believe me, we weren't looking for anything like a win or anything. But just the way they went down. But and I think maybe when you have to look at the situation, the match with Chandler Paul and Phillips too, because where we were is not even that we had a chance of winning the match or saving the match. We were already in such a dump that it wouldn't make any difference, yes or no, whether Chandler Paul gets run out.
I disagree with you there, Audley. Simply because if Phillips were out, we still had a lot more to come behind. You know, there was Chase, the
Silver. He was a night watchman. Yeah.
So we had others who may have been inspired. If Chandra Paul was there holding down one end.
The word is me.
And
me.
yes, of course. But, you know, at least we would have seen some degree of resistance. We would have seen some application, which I don't think we saw after Chandra Paul got out. And I'm wondering if Coach would perhaps... Two things. Can they not take a larger squad, one or two additional players instead of the 14 that they seem to be taking these days? And the other point is, are they really not too tired playing this game 24/7, 365? You know, they're out there every day. Their bodies are not getting the opportunity to rest. Mentally, they are not really psyched up enough to go out there and know what is required of them when they go out there. I think they're going through the motion and we're just not developing players because we still have the same pool. We keep recycling and recycling, nobody new coming in to challenge. And when you bring in somebody new, apart from Chandra Paul, I think they just don't measure up to what we require. Coach, are they two times?
Coach, so first of all, I'm 100% agree with you on the rest part. Our body is being developed to have a rest about 50 to 75% of the daytime. And that is how these day and nights are, 12 hours of day, 12 hours of night. And we normally love to have a sleep between 8 to 12 hours per day, average. And it's not happening because these players are tied up playing too many games. And top of that is not about just playing games. You have to maintain your fitness. You have to maintain some practices. And overall, it's to me, these players are overloaded. So don't expect any performance. On the part two about the roster of 14 or more, I will say, especially on this short tour, where you are expected to play just one pre-tour practice game and two test match, means there is only a matter of just three games. And the tour game do not have a limit. Tour game, I can see that anyone can bat out of 14 before the inning close, and anyone can bowl out of that 14. So it just matter come down to the test. And because of the logistics involved on the tour for the accommodation and all the players' needs, including transportation and cost involved, nowadays we can see, or it makes sense to have the smaller roster on a short tours, and that is what it did. It does not matter whether you have a 14 players or 18. At the end of the day, you're going to pick up your top 11 who is ready to play and fit for the day. Otherwise, there is no point to have bigger rosters.
Jensen.
Yeah.
Early in the program, I was defending.
Go ahead. Let him finish.
Okay, so you listen to Blog Talk Radio and the cricket show. The number to call in is 1-515-605-9850. Or if I do put a one on it, just 515, you know, you can put one on it. But let me say it still. 1-515-605-9850. You're listening to the cricket show on Blog Talk Radio. Okay.
Go ahead. Continue.
So earlier, I was defending the coach because and I was saying it's just because when a side wins, the coach get the praises. So when things go bad, that's why he also gets the blame. But I'm saying the coach cannot rise above the players that he has to work with. What do you think?
Well, I will not agree on that side, basically. Coach is responsible, in my opinion. Coach is responsible. Everything happens with the team, whether it's a win or lose, right? His contribution is there. He is kind of director of this show. No doubt he's like a behind the screen, off the field, but he is the one who has to direct this game plan, how to execute, how to deal with the players, who to put and who do not want to put, and all sort of things. End of the day, it's coming to the coach. And over here, if you let the players do whatever they want to do without the guidance or directions, means this guy is going to run in any direction they can think about it. And that's not the game. And
what I'm trying to say, Jensen, is that the players are not up to caliber to go and perform. It doesn't matter what the coach does.
The coach did everything right.
Yeah, did everything right. If the players are not soaking it up and go and perform, how can you blame the coach?
Yeah. No, so I'm coming to on that one. My next point is definitely agreeable to you, I will say. Coach is only good as long as they have the good, we call it coachable player, who are sincere.
Yep.
Well-disciplined, dedicated, talented, and able to understand the coach and team agenda, then it's good. West Indies is failing on that part heavily. So it does not matter how many coach you change, this culture will not change. How about that?
No hope, so the players. But isn't the coach responsible to motivate the players to get the best out of them, just like the captain? Supposed to motivate everybody.
Let me tell you, when you are dealing with these dozen professional players,
yes,
it is very difficult for any type of, any level of, or any quality of coach. Look at the one simple incident we witnessed. The superstar of the Portugal team was sidelined. They put on the bench. Mm-hmm. Look at the story, what happened from the team favorite. They break the team cohesion. They break mm-hmm. the team cohesion. No doubt, they got the plus. The new guy who took his place scored 3 goals. It's all okay. But look at what you end up. Now you lost the tournament with the disaster performance.
Mm-hmm.
And that basically upset is not just upset. To me, the entire Portugal team, administration, management committed suicide. Coach could have sorted out this situation. It was a one-on-one issue between player and coach. Why are you dragging the entire team to show your class? And guess what happens here? Portugal lost the game and the opportunity to move forward. And if this team is in U.S., I can guarantee you, coach is next to exit.
Okay. Why don't we move on to Pakistan versus England? Pakistan versus England. Good match, close encounter, but are we going to see Pakistan fold again? We had to give credit to the young debutant. 11 wickets in a match? That is awesome. Mm. Was the wicket or the pitch favoring the spinners that much that it allows one player to get 7 in the first innings and 4 in the second? Guys, tell us about that. Remember, Pakistan scored 202 and 198 for 4 against England, 281 and 275. Pakistan needs another 157 at stumps at day 3. 2 more days to score 157. I have to give them the upper hand. And only losing 4 wickets. Are they going to be collapsing like they have done before? Guys, take your pick. Give your thoughts. Why don't you go
Oddly? Okay. Okay. Yep. Last week, of course, I summarized the whole thing by saying Ben Stokes will have to be apologizing after England lose the match. But as it turned out, mm-hmm. I was saying no, he was going with England. But as it turned out, that dramatic collapse turned things around, and England pulled off a nail-biter. That match, I took a snap, I took a screenshot of the TV. And in those final overs, those final moments, one snap, and all 11 players were right up to just around the bat. All 11 players in one shot, I can tell you. Because it was that important. And just 1 wicket to go, and the umpires continue to check the time meter. You know, the light gauge. And man, it was something else. But it was a thrilling victory. But it was nail biting, I can tell you. It could go either side. And with this one now, I'm definitely going with Pakistan again. I can't see them collapsing all 6 wickets. And they have 2 days. It's not that they have to be in any rush. They don't have any time. And you're thinking about, hey, the time is running out. I think they should stay there, and they should try. But of course, the Englishmen are going to be swinging the ball from Marquardt is bowling good. He's bowling fast. Same thing with Anderson, the ever young James Anderson. everything. I tell you, but I think I'm still giving it to Pakistan.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
I'm with you. Yeah.
What about you, Dennis? What say you?
Well, Shaquille scored big in the first innings of this match, and he's still there, not out on some total. So the possibility is there for Pakistan to rally and take this one. However, that's what I thought 1 week ago, and they did not live up to expectation. So this time around, I'm going to say England did it the first time around. I think they can do it again the second time around.
Mm.
So for my money, I'm putting my money on England to take this one and make it a 2-0 series.
2-0 series. Jason, you agree or disagree?
I 100% agree with the Dennis. And when the winning started, Pakistan did really well on day 3 to pack the England out first. And the opening stand did all good work at front. But unfortunately, looking at the numbers and recent performance of Pakistan team, they barely rely on 2 or 3 batsmen, nothing else. And that will come down to under pressure situation for the lower order. So over here, you only have one batsman who can hang in there, but he will be under pressure to score. And the thing, only thing, if the England can lose this test, if James Anderson does not bowl on day 4, I'm expecting James Anderson to come back and bowl another good spell. Look at the day 3 spell. He bowled, I think, 8 or 10 over and for 10 runs with the wicket. And he is the key bowler in this situation. So England can lose only if James Anderson is out of attack.
Yeah, I was going to add that. I was going to add that the recognized Pakistan batters such as Rizwan and Azam is gone. So who's left to come? New players, Salman, and Nawaz, Mahmood. I just don't see Pakistan being able to pull it off this time around, much as, you know, one might want to see them do well. I just don't see it happening, Leon.
Okay. Well,
and not only that, I can add you the one factor. This test is going from day 1, the spinning way. Look at the Pakistan's debutant, the right arm leg spinner, took the wickets. Like, he got more than 10 plus already in the test.
11.
So day by day, this wicket is turning, no doubt. I can agree with anybody on day 1. England was puzzled by this new bowler. Don't know what exactly he is coming to. So you might have 50% doubtful wicket, but the rest of the wicket, he took it because of his skills. And now I will not be surprised if Leach and Joe Root bowling on day 4 more than other bowlers.
Yes, but it's not that they have 1 day, you know. It's like 2 days.
Two days.
So
makes
it's hard
no difference.
For me to believe that they can make bat slow and get that 154 runs. But with 6 wickets intact, I think they have the material to overtake it. But they have a tendency to collapse. But I don't think it's going to happen this time around. But worst things that has happened in cricket. And they say it's a game of glorious uncertainties. But I don't. Pakistan won't do it again. Any other thoughts? I don't. That's my take. But
no,
I,
I'm done. Mm. Yeah, I'm done.
Okay, let's talk. Jatin, I want you to tell us why is it... Okay, let's go to the India-Bangladesh. England had already lost the series, the one-day series. But they came back with a vengeance, scoring 409 runs in 50 overs. That is unheard of for a long time. With Kohli scoring a century, 113, and then Ishan Kishan, 210. That is a marvelous comeback.
Not only that he scored 210, Leon, but he's the youngest player to score a double century
in
ODI. And that's the fastest double century, beating Chris Gayle's record. He was the fastest in making a double century in ODI.
Against New Zealand, he made it against.
It was against Zimbabwe in the World Cup. When he scored 215.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and when himself and Marlon Summers put on 372.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
that's a game. It's a huge turnaround, basically. But I can see, besides those few records, look at the potential of the capability and the way this game is going forward. I will say around 35 over mark for that last water break. I think the rest of Pant was in a 300 zone. The way he was doing without, it looks like he can. He was in that zone. I can tell you the way he was scoring, and the top of that, we should not be surprised if we can see the 500 coming in 50-over game, because now we can see from this performance if we can reach. Right, because after the Rishabh Pant out, the game was lost completely slow. They lost the momentum, and it took about, I think, 6 or 7 overs before they come back to the original average, which is 8 to 10 runs per over. But what if the Rishabh Pant had stayed and continue the same momentum? This can be a disaster score for any team, and that is what is going to happen. Yes, I can agree on one side. This ground looks like small to me, especially when the serpent was batting. It's on his back, which is the leg side. I can see the boundary was smaller than the off side, and he took all advantage, scoring more runs on that side.
You want to welcome Simon. Simon, this evening we're going to ask for you forgiveness because we are going
to... Good evening to you, Mr. President. And I'll say good evening to everyone on the panel and all the listeners, Leon, Dennis, Cardinal, Audley, Donna, Matrice, Virgil, Mr. Patel, I just heard him. Jetna, I haven't heard from her. Ivor, Mr. McKenzie, is he with us or is he still out?
No, he's still out.
Okay, and I want to wish everyone a wonderful week this week. Hope everyone had a wonderful week last week. And want to invite all the listeners all over the world to stay with us. And you learn so much about this great game of cricket.
And we're going to ask Simon, this week to hold your thoughts until next week. Because what we're going to do at about 8:30, we're going to just open the line and play some carols and ask that you send wishes to your friends across the world and whoever wants to call in and, you know, and send their wishes to us as well. And their friends will be good. So as we were saying,
I just want to make one more point, Leon, before just one concerning this. So now we have had 9 double centuries in ODIs, and of the 9, there are 6 are made by Indian players. Of course, 3 by Sharma, Rohit Sharma, and we have Tendulkar being the first to make the 200, and Ishan Kishan, and also Sehwag. And no, the other three is Chris Gayle, Fakhar Zaman from Pakistan, and Martin Gumpil from New Zealand. So we have six by Indian, one West Indian, one Pakistani, and one New Zealand player. So the Indians are way up ahead when it comes to
way
the
up
practice.
Ahead.
Yeah.
You know, I heard that Jatin, the reason for them to have India to produce this, continue to have produce cricketers continually. They're a source of reproducing players to reach international standards is because they have such a large itinerary. But they play 132 matches, which are
matches
called
in the Ranji Trophy.
In the Ranji Trophy, which they call test matches. So I'm asking Jatin to explain that to us.
That's a three-day encounter between those 32 regional teams, and that is the platform to develop the good cream of cricketers for India. And if you look at it, another factor. It's making more impact for these powerful performances. Is there innovative ideas to tackle with the challenges they can face? And if you look at the today's game, I'm speaking a little bit here of, it's between India and Australia, the women game. If you look at it, the striking the ball has changed now, even in women cricket. Look at that two opening batsmen who came out for that super over. And look the how the Indian opening batters has handled striking from ball one. And if you look at this strike, right, there's a whole technique and the whole process to play is changing every day. And what is happening when they perform like inning from Rishabh Pant, where I count almost one-third of the runs he scored is from the middle of the stump, I will say. The ball was going into the stumps and he's positioning himself behind the ball to look on the leg side. Some powerful strokes, some good gaps, but overall, he has created that runs. If you're going the classical way, the typical way, by determining the length and line and playing means judging the ball when and give a merit to play the game, you cannot score that many. And that has changed. And don't forget, in that New Zealand series, when the Surya Adav saw you, almost close to the wide outside the off stump to took that ball to backcourt square leg. Now, these things are, I will say, igniting a lot of interest in the new player to start playing those techniques. And that is what is coming. And India is able to produce, if you have, let's say, just 10 players trying those options, I will say one or two will master it and coming to performance.
Yes, because they're just doing so well. So you think this is something that West Indies should adopt? No, we need the money to play enough cricket and then more players will be emerging. We're depending too much on those guys. Someone said today that West Indies is basing their recruitment on or their development on franchise cricket. So the guys haven't been given enough time to work out a good, have some good time in the wicket, in batting. They believe they can just go and throw their hands around. Let's see who, okay. Go ahead, Audley. I think I see somebody come up here. On the
bus. Yeah. When it comes to the West Indian players and playing abroad, when I look at it, it's very, very, very few of the West Indian players are playing all formats. So I don't think I agree that they are playing too much cricket to play Test cricket.
No, they're not playing too much cricket. No, what I'm saying, they're not playing too much cricket, but they're not playing the kind of cricket.
The kind of cricket
means that they are going there with the mindset of scoring runs quickly, not being in the, occupying the crease long enough to accumulate a big total.
That's what they need to do in the four-day West Indies Championship.
It's not long enough, Audley. That's what I'm saying. That is not long enough. And then,
we need more tournaments than just the West Indies Championship, right?
Exactly.
Well, I agree with you on that.
Well,
we should have return. Just a minute, then, Dennis. What they need to have is have home and away, so it would extend the tournament. I think they had it once, but then things must have changed because if they have home and away, you have five or six teams. And you played, so they would play at least 12 matches or 10, whatever, because you'd have to have a return match, you know. So this season would extend a little more. But then I still agree that we need to have some more competition among the islands.
The Indians played 138 matches in the time. 138 matches. That's that.
I know
that's
we are hurting for money. And those Ken team when I played, I don't think they are playing the empty stadiums. You know, I
no.
don't think not all time is gonna be full or half, but
yeah,
I know you know it's right. So they need to put on things that they can make money. Nowadays in the West Indies, people when you hear they talk about it, and say, yeah, they had a crowd up there, yeah, about how much? About 100. That's a crowd, you know.
Just to mention though, oddly, that recently the Leeward Islands they had a fundraiser in the Virgin Islands. I think it's the British Virgin Islands, and they had
Willett. I heard about that.
And so Andy Roberts were
I saw, giving an award.
The program was arranged to raise funds. We can't afford to allow ourselves to be drawn into just depending on the West Indies cricket board. We have to find means like this, and I laud the Leeward Islands Cricket Association for putting on a program like that, and they do it in Virgin Islands. And it seems
that
they had a very, very good turnout. It might not have gone down well in other countries who can't afford it, but they had a great turnout from what I saw. And these are things that the local association should be doing. Raise funds. How about raffles? You know, you may not even have to buy a car. You can get one from a dealership and raffle it. Make some fun.
Yeah, give them a promotion. Lot of advertisement for that dealership. You know?
Exactly. We're not playing enough cricket. And the type of cricket we're playing is not helping us to develop our cricket. We may go and win a T20 tournament, but then what's next? We can't even bat for one day, what good in a 4 day in a test match. So,
Dear, go ahead. I think two points. I think Audley made the point that I wanted to add to, and that is the 4 day championship. One round of this 4 day championship really is not, or is it two rounds? Is not sufficient matches. I think they should be looking to play at least four rounds. That is, instead of playing home and away once, they should probably be playing home and away on twice, simply because these guys need more cricket at the four-day level. That will challenge them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Secondly, West Indies have CPL, which is a 50-over match. They have the CP50, which is another 50 overs. Then there's the T20. And the four-day. That is not, the emphasis here is on those DP, the 50 over the ODI type matches, and that in itself is not enough. The other point that I think that we should really try to emphasize is that I think if all the Caribbean island governments were to sit down and recognize that tourism when cricket test matches are being played is benefiting their islands. So each island should come together and decide we're going to invest X number of dollars, pounds, whatever, into the West Indies so that when the test matches series comes up, each island will be able to get at least one or two or as the case may be, or even three matches, depending on how much money you put into this tourism effort. So in other words, it's an investment, and the island government should see that bringing tourists there will improve their bottom line. So they need to invest upfront to assist with the funds that is required to improve cricket so as to bring in the crowds like in the old days.
You can ask Barbados about that, because when England playing in the Caribbean, Little England. Yeah, Little England. India playing, you have a lot of coming out. Because they travel with the team.
Mm-hmm.
They travel with the team where they go. So, yeah.
But another point, folks, I don't know if I know we are being taxed, but if you put a sports tax on tourists, they come in and put a tour, it could be $2. Could be nobody can go towards and let that be dedicated to development of sports.
Whatever you can do.
I don't think a couple of dollars would hurt anybody. If you come, a tourist come and you get $2 from him or her, you can develop it. Don't depend on just government alone to do that. Government from the equity. Do an excess. It's mandatory.
By the same token, Leon, the government can say, I'm going to put aside 0.2% of my such and such revenue towards that end. But it cannot be done without the governments of the islands deciding to be proactive and invest. Look at what Sandals were doing during, Butch Stewart's time.
When the West Indies Cricket Board some years ago wanted to do that, to put aside all and combine and do things like that. As far as I knew, it's only Antigua came around. Because when Antigua gave them that headquarters, $1, the former Prime Minister's office, $1, just to make sure that they didn't own it. And they were paying utilities.
So what Dennis is saying, Leon, is to say, just to make it clear that the governments are doing things, but that maybe what he's saying now is to do additional stuff like a $2 tax. I think that make a whole lot of sense, because which tourist would refuse to come to your island because you have your other $2 tax, sports tax?
We have a population larger than you. can't afford anything, and they want the same amount, but they have to sacrifice something to get something, because a small country can reproduce a Willet, you can reproduce a little Amari Banks, and now you have the young little guy coming out of St. Martin as well. All them can contribute. That's what we want. We want to see more four-day cricket played in our islands. We'll reproduce. Folks, time is on us, but...
Let me give you an updated score in the U.S. Open. Dallas All-Stars, they are chasing... how much they're chasing? It's not on the screen now, but they are now 71-3 in 8.5 overs. 71-3 at the moment. I can't see how much they're chasing right now. They're playing against UMMC.
Okay, that's very good. So, folks, shall we just type in on to the World Cup, folks?
Update on the West Indies women did lose that T20 test by 8 wickets to
is it test match?
The women T20, the West Indies scored, I think it was about 110, and England scored 105 for 7, and England women scored 106 for the loss of 2 wickets, and of course those 2 wickets were 2 runouts. West Indies women. The West Indies women actually used 7 bowlers in their effort, each bowler bowling 2 overs, and still we could not get a wicket out of one of them. 2 runouts were the ones that caused the.
Give the credit to the fielders, but our cricket is
dismal, and the women even worse. The women are
worse
than the Andre Dutton leave and Stefanie Taylor sick. Believe you me, and we have not produced in work, beaters in the women as well. So
anyhow, Leon, we can go to the World Cup before this exciting match between India and Australia today. The T20, in which both sides score 127. India, Australia 187 for one in their last 20, and India replied with 187 for five, and they had a bowl off. They had a bowl off, and the Indians won the bowl off. They sweep over by scoring 20, and I think the Aussies scored 16, and for the first time in 2022. Australia's side, international women's side, has lost a match for the first time in 2022. So the Indians have broken that spell.
Right.
They lost the first one, and they tied this one, but they won the Super Over. So the Indians, it's all level now, 1-1.
Okay.
Leon. Audley said that score on the Dallas on the Open.
Four wickets.
Yes, but UMCC scored
142.
Right.
142, so they're going for 143. Yeah, I just saw it flash on the screen. Yeah, it was on.
Okay.
So they need 70 to win from 66 deliveries. And they have 11 overs, and all 11 overs, that's right. Yep.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead. Just pass our sights on the World Cup. Final four. Argentina versus Croatia from December 13th. That's about 2 o'clock our time on Tuesday.
Right.
Gentlemen, who has people left in? We all were going for Brazil, I guess. Some of us are going 3 times the world.
I was Brazil, and they left early. What's his name again? Belgium, and they left early. I was gonna add the Netherlands, but I didn't, so I can't even talk about that. It was supposed to be three, but I only chose two.
But nevertheless, Argentina is still in. Croatia is still in.
Yes.
They're meeting on Tuesday. And the dark horse, Morocco, they come up against
Morocco.
The defending champions. The defending champions on Wednesday. Same time, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, folks. Have your say. Anyone wants to? Jatin is back with us. He was dropped. Jatin, you want to say something before we go? Because it's 8:30, Simon. We're going to be opening the lines and play some music to start the season. Jatin, anything from you with regards to this, the World Cup soccer?
World Cup.
Yes. Okay. Well, how about you, Dennis? Jatin,
I was one who looked at the Moroccan team playing during this series, and I was very impressed with their approach. You know, first of all, physically, these guys are all very tall. And not only are they tall, but they're well built, you know, muscular, and they are certainly using their size and their strength to muscle the opponents. I'm not saying they're playing dirty. I'm simply saying they have the advantage because of their size and strength. And they played some really, really outstanding football, in my opinion. And I can see why they are where they are. I congratulate them and I give them kudos. I think they can beat France, to be quite honest with you. Mm-hmm. I think Morocco can go all the way to the final because they of the way they're playing. Argentina, I think they've been fortunate in many ways. They may go through, but once again, the Croatia have a reputation, and they've lived with this reputation of the last 3 World Cups. They've been in the quarterfinal rounds at least in the last 3 World Cups. And I think that Argentina would do well to bring their A game on Tuesday because Croatia will certainly give them a run for their money. So I'm looking at the possibility of a Croatia and Morocco going through to the final.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Morocco set an African record by being the first African team to reach the semifinal round. Yeah.
But mm-hmm. what I understand that most of the players were either born abroad. And
well, that's how it is with the international
football. Yeah.
If your mother or your father, you know, even if you're born in a country, but if your parents were, you know, then you're eligible, and it's good for them to be. Same thing happened Jamaica. You know, when we're playing, I think a lot of foreign players from England and different places. You have Robbie Earl, who scored Jamaica's first goal in he was a regular Englishman. You have Dean Burton and those guys, you know? Yep. Former coaches.
Do we have Ivor or Virgil back?
I can go. Leon, can I
go ahead. Okay, then. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, JT.
Leon.
Yes, you're on.
Yeah, I will be wrap up. Let me finish this, and then I'll go away because of other commitment. But here is my take. Croatia has a chance because they have a very good goalkeeper, and he is holding the all hope. If he does well in upcoming games, Croatia can go. As far as Argentina comes on, that was my second choice behind Brazil. But unfortunately, Argentina has to bring their top-level game. Otherwise, they will not survive against the Croatia. If they do it, then they have a chance to go be in the championship game. On the bottom, Morocco, it is like huge upset, African country to be in semifinal in FIFA World Cup history since 1930. So that's a huge and biggest upset. But I don't blame or give a credit to Morocco, but I definitely can blame. It's a Portugal who committed the suicide in this game because of their team situation and the internal disruptions or disputes, and which lead to poor performance, and they knocked out. Absolutely, I'm disappointed. England lost because that's, to me, one of the best teams we had in this tournament in terms of performance, skills, sportsmanship, you take it everything on that positive side. England got first yellow card in a second half in later stage when they were under pressure. It was happened after they missed that second PK, and they realized that we have to score one, and they put team under frustration. And during that situation, they got the first yellow card of the entire tournament. That's a huge for any team doing well.
That's
and
great.
It only happens if you are playing technically sound skills, means so you are well aware, well knowledgeable, not going into the physical. That's the only way you can stay away from yellow. And they show the class.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, that one goal, the one they PK, they missed, cost them the game, and now the France has opportunity to defend the title, and I'm expecting France will go ahead and do really well against Morocco. They will not be able to compete. That's my take.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm expecting still Argentina versus France in the final.
Mm. All right.
Okay, your take, Audley. Who are you going for?
Just for sentiment, Morocco has been creating excitement. You know, they've been doing well. And I'm going to pick them to continue, do the same thing. As I told you, I'm no big soccer fan, but, you know, I'm gonna pick the Moroccans. And in the other semifinals, who is it? It's France and who?
France and Morocco.
That's a tough one. But just for sentiment, I go with Morocco still, and Argentina over France.
Over Croatia.
Mbappe and those guys, huh?
Argentina will play Croatia.
Yeah. Oh, France is gone home, right?
No, France.
Yes.
No. France is playing against Morocco.
Morocco.
Okay.
And Argentina is playing Croatia.
Spain against Croatia. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so Argentina to beat Croatia, and Morocco by sentiment, of course, over France, the defending champions.
That
may not happen that way.
The goalkeeper for Croatia is a piece of work, man. I tell you, he is has some divine.
Yeah, he's done well.
But let me just tell you guys, one African nation in Morocco is left. One CONMEBOL team in Argentina, and then two European in the UEFA in Croatia and France. So, no CONCACAF and no AFC. So, but anything can happen. I still love Argentina if he doesn't go to the penalty kicks. If he goes to the penalty kicks, this goalkeeper is going to stop at least two. France, I'm sentimentally, want to see
Morocco
win, but I think they'll come to the end of their flight. But we really can't take away from what they've done, and they deserve to be there. So anything can happen.
Right.
Anything can happen. So, folks, Simon, do you want to have
your latest update?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening. Well, when they first started out, I picked three teams, and one of those three would win. I picked Argentina, Brazil, and my country, England. So Argentina is still there. So I'm still in the running.
Yeah.
You want to bring it up to date?
Yes, it's Dallas All-Star, 79 for 6.
Wow.
79 for $6. Dallas Oscar, 10 overs and 4 balls, 79 for 6.
Who's playing?
Ashley Nurse is batting. No, the U.S. Open cricket I'm talking
about. U.S. Open.
Ashley Nurse is batting at the stadium, at the Broward Stadium, Simon. So Ashley Nurse is batting now, one runner of two deliveries.
Don't count out
and
Ashley
Shamar,
Nurse.
Springer.
Mm-hmm.
And Shamar Springer is batting 2 and 4.
Yeah. Okay, so... I forget the point where I'm trying to make. But nevertheless, anybody else want to say anything? Oh, the saddest moment, folks. It was pitiful to see Neymar crying, man. And Portugal, the guy who was subbed for Portugal. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ronaldo.
Oh.
That was too sad for me.
Yes.
And
that's what Jason was talking about, the break up the chemistry in the team with all kind of stuff and they
all
get outside,
distraction.
Yeah, distraction.
And the guy was still the people's favorite. You see, when he was warming up, the people started, start to cheer loudly. And he's sad. But anyway, anything can happen, folks. Anything you want to know, Simon? We have 2 minutes.
No, I'm okay.
Okay, folks, you're going to dedicate this final 30 minutes to our
Leon,
friends
can
around
you,
the... Go ahead.
Leon,
2 minutes.
Can you say hello to, I think Judson has joined us. Can we...
Oh, yes, okay. Yes, that's right. Judson, you come on at the right time because we're going to ask you to send your wishes to... I don't know if you do the Christmas, but if you do, you can send wishes to the Christmas. And tell us hello to.
Yes,
you're on.
Definitely. Good evening, everybody. Yes, we do celebrate
good evening,
with our children and family and friends, of course. And wish you all a Merry Christmas also and Happy Holidays.
Yes, indeed.
And it's been a great time of the year now, right?
Great time of the year. Anybody born close to, oddly born the first of the year. Everybody remembers that, right? Anybody born in December?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody get married in December? Anyone have child born in December?
Daughter celebrating in December.
Okay, so
we're
going to play a little carol. Okay. So why don't we sit back and send wishes. Anytime you need to say anything, just let me know and I will just pause the music and send cheers to you. I just want to take time to send Christmas greetings to my dear sisters over in New York. There's so many of them. Verna May, Valerie, Gabriel. The other two, I forget the names, believe me. But I have two more.
That's a good one.
No, she used to live with me too, you know, once when she was small. But anyway, she knows who I'm talking about. And two died, three died. But anyway, let's start the ball rolling. Especially, I don't think we have played it for a long time, but it's a song that depends on how you interpret it, but it's a Christmas song.
Mm-hmm. darling, who you looking for? Alexander, Alexander. With two suitcases she and she tell me she must find this man. Alexander, Alexander. Every Christmas she don't come down. Meet sweet man Alex from town. She wanted to surprise him, so she didn't call. She went searching all about, but can't find a link at all. She tell me, I want a link. I want a link. I want a link. I can't do it all, darling. Alex makes me happy. Alex drives me crazy. Alex for my Christmas. Alex is so gorgeous. She tell me, I want a link. I want a link. I want a link. I can't do it all, darling. And a brand new Timex watch for Alexander, Alexander. I tell she I ain't seen him long time, cause I just hardly go online. She say, can he go try that? You and Alex close. Anytime I can't find him, it's you that are checking first. She tell me I want Alex. Alex is my lover. Alex is my tonic. He don't make me get sick. Oh, she tell me I want Alex. I want Alex. I want Alex. I can't do it all, darling. We'll be right back.
Leon.
Okay.
I want to hear Audley's request, because the last couple of Christmases, Audley has had a favorite, which he always
sings. Yes, okay, I'm going to get it for you. I'm getting it for you.
That's my choice for a song that I want to hear and send out to all my family and friends.
All right. Do that in a jiffy. Anything else, Audley, while you say?
In the meantime, while you look that up, Leon, I'm done. My favorite is Kenny Rogers and one of my many favorites.
All right. Yes,
Kenny
Rogers
and Dolly Parton, Peace on Earth, Good Will to Men.
Yeah.
Yes. So just want to give a shout out to my mom and my sister, Joan. Of course, she celebrated her birthday the 5th of December. So just want to give her a shout out. And of course, my other sister, Jean, they both live in New York, and they are the ones that's primarily taking care of my mom right now. She's still in the rehab, but thank God she's not worse. She's not getting any better to me, but look, she's still around. She's still fighting 92 not out and pushing towards 93, let's say, Lord spare life in February.
Amen.
All right. So get around.
Amen. You got to say it again tonight. Hear me in your song now. Just want to take time out to send this one out for my sister. I couldn't remember her name. Sharon, my sister, my younger sister, Sharon Branch is over there in Mount Vernon. Then my cousin, QT.
You remember the other sister, Valerie?
Valerie.
You remember Valerie?
Yes, I did mention. I think I mentioned her name. Sharon Francis, Valerie Francis, Gobert Francis, Vernamy Francis. Well, Ruth had died, and Alwyn had died, but those are the ones who I can remember. And I have QT Antonio and Bobby Antonio over there in Toronto. Hyacinth Christian over there in London, England. She lives near Lourdes. Fiol Thorn in Pontegada. And then Joan Mayers in Kissimmee. And Eugene and Melanie Francis over there in Pembroke Pines. Listen to this one. I love this one so much.
Shoes and come with me tonight. We love a good broad daylight.
Without silent night, it empties, empty without silent night. So here is the temptation. Here are the temptations.
For the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring. Not even a mouse.
In my mind, I want you to be free. Ooh. For all of my friends, would you listen to me? What I say, we wish you a
Merry Christmas
to me,
to all of you,
one of you. Ooh. Yeah. All of night, oh. Thank you.
Sandra and spoon. I miss Daisy soon. I miss Christmas in my land. I miss a good love way. I miss San Jose. I miss Christmas in my land. That's why I'm coming home for this Christmas season. Coming home for more than one reason. I'm coming to hear Christmas rooster crow in the moon. Coming home to sing choo choo parang and to show them how it is done in the sun. I miss Christmas in my land. That's right, I'm coming home. I'm coming home. I'm coming home. I miss Christmas in my land. Oh yeah, coming home. For Christmas, what you eating for Christmas? You make any punch or creamer yet this year? Feel for some homemade morbi, a nice cup of cocoa tea, some garlic pork or local konjebi. I miss rice wine with ice, mom jug jug nice. I miss Christmas in my land. I miss big pork and ham, pepper pot and lamb. I miss Christmas in my land. Coming home for the Christmas season. Coming home for more than one reason. I'm coming to hear Christmas rooster crow in the morning. Coming home to see sunshine shining and to hear them church bells chiming in the sun. I miss Christmas in my land. That's right, coming home. Coming home. Coming home, I miss Christmas in my land. That's right, coming home. Wake up Christmas morning and hear mama soul pop crowing. I miss Christmas in my land. And Sinclair, Dolph and Errol. I miss Christmas in my land. I miss Blackfish and Babe. I miss Tree Tree Cake. I miss Christmas in my land. I miss some Bunge Falls, a little high wine out. I miss Christmas in my land. I miss garlic pork, pepper pot, no joke. I miss Christmas in my land.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe helps to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard. They know that Santa Claus is on his way. He's bringing lots of toys for them to play. And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas, Merry, Merry Christmas to you. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the hills we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtails ring, making spirits bright. Oh, what fun to laugh and sing a sleighing song tonight. Hey, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse.
Christmas bells are ringing, caroling kind in the snow. Christmas bells are ringing, joyous voices sweet and clear, sing the sad of hearts to cheer.
I saw mommy kissing Santa Claus. down the stairs to have a peek. She thought that I was tucked up in my bedroom fast asleep. That's when I saw Mommy take a Santa Claus underneath his beard so slowly. What a laugh it would have been if my daddy had only seen Mommy kissing Santa Claus last night.
Merry Christmas to you all. Have a blessed evening.
And mark those two. All I want for Christmas and, you know, dance and Silent Night. My wife likes those.
Yeah, okay, all right. The final one I'm going to play.
Let me give you a little tidbit here. The song Silent Night, when radio was first put on the air, the first song that was played on radio was Silent Night. Remember that.
Wow.
The first song ever played on radio was Silent Night.
All right. Awesome.
Not this version.
Have a great week. Have a great week. God bless you all.
Have a blessed week all.
Leon, that last over of that open match tonight was electric. Scored about 20 runs in the last over.
20 runs in the last over? Yeah, okay.
Something like that, including a 6 off the last ball to win the match.
Yep.
Okay.
Very
okay.
Exciting.
That's good. Okay, final tune for the night. God bless you all for staying up late after bedtime.
The world is